Hey, welcome to Athlete on Fire. I'm Scott Jones, your host, and we're going to talk about the week that was out here in Colorado, as well as in the world of sports, as always. And, Athlete on Fire is about bridging the gap between amazing athletes and the rest of the world. We can do that through storytelling and through teaching and coaching, and we keep you guys entertained a little bit with some of our guests. If you guys did not have a chance, go check out our last episode. It was with Matt Frazier of NoMeatAthlete.com, and we talked about a lot of things in the world of nutrition and sport and trends and fad diets and just about everything. It's pretty cool. He has a new book out, new cookbook. It's doing really well. Really proud of what they're doing over there. And it's an interesting stuff. One of the things I wanted to learn from him was, what is that meal? Like, I always base how well I'm eating in any given time in my life based on how many recipes I have memorized or how many tactics in the kitchen that I can just go to, whether it's a seasoning thing or being able to mix and match or just a good recipe that I don't have to refer to my phone or the cookbook every 5 minutes. And Matt gave a couple of those recipes on the show, which was pretty cool. A lot of stuff that had to do with beans, which is interesting. And he gave some good information on the preventative power of legumes. Anyway, if you guys have not been here before, everything is found at athleteonfire.com. Tons of resources, over 190 interviews with amazing athletes all over the world, and we're going to keep it going as far as I know. So some stuff that we're going to talk about today. So Kylian Jornet in the news again, did some an amazing feat, had to do with Everest. I'm sure you guys have heard about it by now if you're listening, but it just happened earlier today, which is Monday, May 22nd. And definitely deserves some attention. I had an interesting weekend. I was out on the trails all weekend from a foot and a half of snow to dry as a bone, the same trail. This crazy storm pattern moved into Colorado this weekend, and I was able to experience it in all of its glory. And had my adrenaline spike up through the roof. Bears. I'll just kind of prequel. Bears. Beats. No, I'm not going to do that. Downhill running, we'll talk about that a little bit, the importance of it. If you can find a nice, long, sustained way to run downhill and work on those eccentric contractions in your legs, that's really important. Concept on the type of people that show up for a race 2 days after a foot of snow has been pounded down. As a race director, I've directed over 90 events now in the last 6 or 7 years. And the trail runs have the least amount of complainers. The foo-foo 5Ks, easily the highest amount of complainers. It's just it's a crazy world out there. So we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. And, yeah, we're going to start right there. So Kylian Jornet, if you guys do not know, there's tons of ways to learn about this guy. He's been a legend already in the running scene, in the mountain running scene. He's a Spaniard. And how old is this guy? He's 29 years old. And he just broke the speed record on Everest. No ropes, no oxygen, no supplemental oxygen. And I was reading a little bit about it. I think it took him 26 hours, maybe 38 hours from base to base. Just a crazy, crazy thing. He got up to over 7,000 meters before he started not feeling that great. And the way he tells it, he had to slow down a bit to recover, but he got to the top at midnight, made his way back down. If you guys know anything about Everest or any mountain for that matter, getting down is just as tough oftentimes as getting up. But he's a mountain runner. He comes out to Hard Rock, which is an event in Colorado near Silverton. And if you want to be inspired, if you want to just see what is capable for the human body to do in some of the most rugged and beautiful places in the world, just look him up. Look up Kylian Jornet, Jornet, and go watch a few videos of some of the promos that he's done with some brands and documentaries, and he's just an amazing athlete. So anybody doing stuff like that definitely gets a shout-out. And Everest is just – it's a crazy place right now. But there's some political stuff going on over there, which is a topic for another day. But we're talking about mountain running, and every single year for the last 6 years, me and my wife, Lauren, have been putting on a trail race in the foothills here of Colorado, and the race is called Fear the Deer Trail Half Marathon. It's one of the toughest trail half marathons in the state. You gain over 2,800 feet, The first 2 miles, you gain close to half of your elevation. So it's a pretty brutal start. We thin them out really quick. And then they do a figure eight up on some high altitude, high-ish high altitude, about 8,000 feet or so. And then they bomb it back down. Well, this year, on Thursday before the race, we get this just crazy snowstorm out of nowhere. It's May 20, or at the time, 18th. And it's just coming down all day long. I'm talking to my buddy, Rob, who helps me every single year mark the course. I was like, well, this is going to be interesting. So we get, first of all, tons of emails. Are you canceling? Are you canceling? We don't cancel unless the county, the head of the parks says, you know, this is going to do too much damage to the trail. So we're huge stewards of trail etiquette and everything, but we're not going to cancel. Me and my wife, we run in every type of weather condition that you can imagine. And we expect the same from our racers. So our permits for 175 to 200 people. And we have a decent turnout. But rewind. So Friday, we go out there and we typically do this at like 5 o'clock on Friday evening so that we don't hit a lot of the crowds and we don't have our markings up when some of the trail users are out there. Anyway, we go up there, get our packs ready. I'm stapling the signs to post this year because I knew there's going to be snow up there. Throw my pack on. We're hauling a 30-pound table up a couple miles up. And then usually me and Rob split off. So he goes and marks a little 4-mile loop, and then I'll go mark the other 4-mile loop. And we both end up on this scenic overlook about a mile as the crow flies, but 4 miles on trail. And on this Friday night, there's nobody else out there. Nobody's up at the trailhead. And this time of year, typically it's packed every single night. So the weather kept people away. Conditions on the way up, really, really muddy, slushy, snow-covered mud, I guess is the best way to explain it, but really soft and disgusting and just tough footing and all that stuff. And then once we get up about halfway up the mountain, then it just turns into snowpack. Trees are down everywhere. Big trees are rooted up. It was crazy. It was really crazy. Like a foot and a half of snow at the top. Anyway, we're marking the course. It's pretty easy because we've done this for 6 years. And we get up to the top. Well, I get to my section, and I'm just sitting there taking pictures. It's surreal because all the pine trees, because it's such a wet – like most of our snows here in Colorado for most of the season during cold season, the snows are really dry. So, you know, they hit the leaves with the evergreens, but they just bounce down. And you'll get a dusting on them even in the big snows, but they won't stick to it because everything's so cold and dry, and it just lands on the ground. But – for this snow, there was tons of wet snow, and it was sticking to the trees in huge, giant clumps, like the size of, basically the size of, like, me. So I'm about 200 pounds. You see, like, these 50, 60-pound clumps of snow all over the trees. And you can check it out. If you go to Fear the Deer on Facebook, you can see pictures from it. So I'm up there taking pictures of this surreal scene, and I'm like, man, it's going to be interesting tomorrow. It was supposed to snow Friday night. Luckily, it didn't. And the forecast for Saturday morning was 35 degrees, sunny, and 50 by 10 o'clock. So I was like, this is going to be really interesting. I'm knocking down snow off of the saplings that are blocking the course, making sure people know where it is. If you led the race, you would have not seen the single track. You would have had no idea unless we marked it. So I'm tracking out usually a lot more than I typically would so that the front runners could see where to go. Heading back down, and this section of the trail that I never go on was really snowed in. So, excuse me. So I wanted to track it out so it was easier for the runners. So I'm tracking it out. It adds about a mile to my day. And what I was doing to put the signs in, I had a hammer and about 2-foot wooden spikes with the signs on there. So we're hammering into the snow. Put the hammer away. Put my knife away. I was using to cut some stuff up, and I start jogging down when I could. And this trail, it's single track. It's got these huge sweeping views of the city and the town below, the little valley. And then every once in a while, it kind of ducks back into the woods and then pops back out. Well, on one of these little depressions that popped into the woods, I'm sitting there thinking, man, I have not seen – well, somebody had seen a bear there a couple days earlier. I have not seen a bear this year. I haven't seen tracks in forever. I forgot how big black bear paws were. And I was literally thinking that. And I looked down. I was like, oh, that must be how big they are. So basically the size of both my hands put together, maybe a little bit less than that, was the size of these black bear tracks. And spooked the crap out of me because I couldn't see 20 feet ahead of me. I could see behind me. But he was on the trail, and he wasn't on there that much before me because some of the drip from the melt was coming onto his tracks, which means that it had to be that afternoon. So I get the hammer back out, which what the heck is that going to do? I get the hammer back out for peace of mind, start yelling to hopefully spook him if he's up there. And I go about 20 yards, finally, after 5 minutes, getting the nerve up. I go about 20 yards forward on the trail, and there's this place where like five or six saplings were covering the trail, and it was just hard to get around. And none of the snow was displaced on that, and I saw where the bear had gone off trail and went up the mountain. So for the next mile or so, I'm screaming, "Hey, bear," whistling, looking up the mountain, holding a little pocket knife the size of my pinky in my left hand and a hammer in my right hand. And my adrenaline was through the roof. Because it was just weird because there's nobody else out there besides Rob, and he was at least 3 miles away. Nobody. There was no other cars in the parking lot. This is a place that's always packed. So it just felt really, really, really spooky. And, you know, get down to the main trail again, put the hammer away and bomb it down. But showed Rob the pics. He had to send it to some of his friends who were actually running on the day after. So it was just pretty crazy. Pretty crazy stuff. So, nope, didn't see the bear. Did get the adrenaline kick from it. Couldn't decide if I was going to use the blunt side of the hammer or the spiky side. And I decided I'm going to use the blunt side because if I hit him in the head multiple times, it won't get stuck in there and I can just keep beating him with it. This is, you know, a ridiculous thought based on how big these creatures are. But that's what my mind was saying. If I use the back end and I just stab him and it gets stuck, then I won't have a weapon anymore. So there is the demented mind of a trail runner. And I know you guys, if you get out, everybody has these crazy thoughts. So that actually happened. But the crazy thing, the next morning, on the very other side where Rob was, one of our volunteers got some mountain lion tracks on her camera, which is crazy. So those are big daddies. And if you ask me, and most people out here who are pretty adventurous, the mountain lions are much scarier because they do stalk their prey, and they're so smooth and quick, and you're done if they get you. But pretty crazy. So that was pre-race. The race went well. You know, me and my buddy Ben over at Mountain Bike Radio, we were talking about, he puts on races as well. We were talking about, well, I was telling how much of a success was. Awesome. No complaints. And, you know, what I do is I start the 8 o'clock and then the 9 o'clock wave. And then I just hustle up the mountain as fast as I can. Cause I can get the front runners on the way down and then I can get the slower ones on their second loop. And I just take tons of pictures and, no complaints. I've never seen a more grateful group of runners. They thank the volunteers without fail every single time. And I didn't have one complaint at the bottom. People were just stoked. And, you know, I'm catching people with one or two beers in after the race. Of course they're happy at that point, but Ben made the point. He's like, yeah, the complainers probably just stayed home for this one, which is true. So, you know, they knew it was going to be a sloppy, nasty day. And people who weren't willing to go through that were typically the ones that were a little pickier or are typically a little pickier about those kind of conditions. So, man, just get out there. The only time you have really good memories is when you have really adverse experiences. So people are going to have... It was just a crazy, magical scene out there. And with a foot of snow on, these tree bombs with the snow on them were dropping once it was getting warmer around 9 o'clock. People were getting drilled with like 30 and 40-pound packs of snow from the trees. It was freaking hilarious. I mean, people looked like they were taking a shower. It was just a crazy, weird world. And by the end of the morning, by the time most people were at 7 miles, 95% of the snow had melted. It was just crazy. So that was my weekend. I spent 2 days on those trails, probably put about 10 or 11 miles each day on my legs, hauling stuff around and stressing out, making sure that people were healthy and getting down the mountain okay. Just really fun. And then Sunday, me and my wife go out. She has a group of women that she coaches out here for beginner trail running stuff. So we go up to Evergreen, and I was kind of sick of slogging around going uphill all weekend. So I drove 9 miles up close to Mount Evans on this paved road. It's really muddy up there right now. And just bombed 9 miles. And I wasn't really running fast, but I just wanted to get my legs turning over a little bit. But if you guys are runners and you don't do downhill stuff, you don't do the eccentric side, you got to do it. So the equivalent would be doing like depth jumps. If you're on a box and you jump down and stick it, doing the eccentric movement for tons of movements and tons of different sports is so important to keep you healthy. A lot of runners don't focus on the downhill, and then they only work on their fitness, and they go out to a race that's on rolling hills or on steep hills, and they waste themselves on the downhills, so they have no juice for those uphills anymore. And it's just a really good way to do it. If you don't have access to downhill, you know, if you live in Florida, I mean, your best bet is a bridge. Hiking backwards on a treadmill does a lot of the same work. Bounds, single leg squats, single leg lunges, explosive lunges, stuff like that that can just build up your eccentric contractions is really important. So that's what I did. I'm a little bit sore. I have a pretty good base right now, but a little bit sore. But if you have the opportunity, I mean, we're really lucky out here. I had a 9-mile downhill run. It's hard to find that pretty much anywhere in the world. But if you have the opportunity, definitely just work in simple downhill sets to complement all the work that you do on flats and ups, for sure. All right, guys. So this week, what's going on? I have Jason Fitzgerald of strengthrunning.com coming on the show again. Remember, Becoming Ultra is not going to be on this feed anymore. So if you want to listen to Becoming Ultra, the story and the resources for ultra runners who are doing it for the first time, go over to becomingultra.com. It's all on iTunes and Stitcher as well, but it's its own baby now. It's grown up. It's got wings, and we're pushing it out of the house at this point. So Becoming Ultra is on its own. Free the Trainer just got on iTunes. It as well will be its own show. It's all about the health and fitness industry, how to start, grow, and sustain your fitness business. I partnered up with my buddy that I went to grad school with, and we have very similar philosophies on how to grow your business in this health and fitness world. And a lot of it has to do with freeing yourself up for creative endeavors that are entrepreneurial, as well as diving in and really being at the top of your game in your own industry. And we talk about the opportunities that come along. He just had a really cool opportunity as to work with a group in his hometown in South Carolina that we'll share eventually. I just met with an athletic director at a high school out here with one of my partners, and we have an interesting opportunity to be contracted out by those guys. But it's just finding new opportunities. It's the marketing, it's the logistics, legalities, all that stuff. So we kind of talk about things that are going on in our society in this industry as well, and kind of bounce back ideas and thoughts on that stuff. So freethetrainer.com is where you can find that. It's also on iTunes now. And if you guys like what you're hearing, always Athlete on Fire is on iTunes and Stitcher. Any reviews that you can give on these platforms gives us more access to people. So definitely go hook it up. Go let us know what you like, or hopefully what you don't like. You can just shoot me an email. That'd be awesome. And I can work on whatever you don't like as much, or what you want to hear from. Maybe we'll get Killian on one of these days. I have a feeling he's going to be a very, very popular guy for a little while. But go check out one of his videos if you're in the middle of the day with your headphones in and you're just not feeling it. He's gonna inspire you for sure. So that's what's going on in my world, guys. Hope you guys are enjoying wherever you might be. Oh, you know what? If you're going to stick around for one more second, here's a good workout for you. I call this 600s, and you pick two upper body, two lower body, and two core exercises, and you do 100 reps of each. Here's an idea. 100 push-ups, 100 inverted rows, 100 squats, 100 single leg squats, and 100 straight leg throwdowns, and 100 sit-ups. And if you do it in 30 minutes, it's averaging 20 reps a minute for 30 minutes, and you have 600 reps. That's how me and my buddy start off every single Monday morning, and it keeps us going for quite a while. So remember, guys, I am, you are, everyone is an athlete. Appreciate it.